right. Well, again, good morning and happy New Year's Eve. Can't believe we've already made it to the end of this year. It's pretty exciting there. And as I mentioned, I am not Pastor Steve. He is currently traveling on his way home right now. So it's a probably good thing to keep in mind, especially as has already been spoken. I hope everybody is safe on the roads returning home as we're beginning to get some ice out there. And I'm sure Pastor Steve could use some thoughts and prayers as they are traveling back to Dallas themselves right now. Doesn't sound like it's too nice out there. My pastor has graciously given me this opportunity to be up here and bring the message once more. I'm pretty excited to be bringing a New Year's message. You know, this is a great time of year as we get to look back and reflect a little bit on the past and how it's been and look forward to the future. Put some things together. I know now's the time to be putting together some New Year's resolutions, getting those things going. I know me and Chantel have a few down right now that we're looking forward to trying to enact in going into this new year. So I do hope that what we're going to talk about today, this message, would be pertinent to that as we look forward to this new year and what it has to bring. So with that in mind, I want to ask you to ponder this question with me, this thought. What does it mean to walk as though God is real in your life? Again, that's what does it mean to walk as though God were real, alive and active in your life? Well, before we jump into that, let's go ahead and say another word of prayer here as we get into the Word. Lord, I thank you for this chance that we have this cold winter morning to be here together as a family, as a church family, to open your Word and get into this message. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and present it. I pray that you would be speaking through whatever I say. Pray our hearts would be open to receive what you have to say today, regardless of what I may do, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your blessing here, and I do pray that you would bless this time. And I do want to lift up Pastor Steve right now as he is out traveling currently on the roads. I pray that you be giving him safety, keep him safe, keeping those roads open for him, Lord, so that he can get home and hopefully enjoy some rest at home today, Lord. And I pray you give us all safety going out of here as we get to travel on these roads. I thank you for your goodness, Lord, and the knowledge that we do rest in your hands. I lift this up in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so talking about that, what does it mean to walk as though God were real and active in our lives? I have to say, I have personally struggled with fear and anxiety in the past. Those times where I let fear take over and let panic set in and don't act and live as though God were real and active in my life. And one time that happened that I gave into fear, that it just burned into my brain, is a bad experience that I had in Quebec. Now, I'm sorry if I offend anyone who loves Quebec. I'm just going to say that right now. I mean, as I've said before, I love Quebec as much as the next person, which means essentially not at all. I can't say that I've had the best experiences going through there. So apologize again if I offend anyone who's a big fan of Quebec today. But one of the early times that I had to, I'm sorry. Apologize to Jonathan. But one of the early times that I had to travel through Quebec, one of the first times actually, I learned something quite terrifying. You see, in Quebec, all the signs are in French. Now, myself, just coming up from America, you know, good old America, I have no need for French, but here I am traveling my first time through Quebec, which I happen to do quite a bit on my journeys up north. Well, I found out I had no idea what was going on. I couldn't read any of the street signs. So I was traveling through Quebec, and in this particular time, I had to go through Montreal. For those of you who don't know, Montreal is a city that's set on an island in the middle of a river, which means there are no straight roads and bridges everywhere. And so I was traveling through this city in Quebec, full of French signs, couldn't read any of them. I was using some MapQuest directions because my GPS was broken. It was telling me that I was about 20 feet below the river, which is not where I wanted to be. And sure enough, as I was going through these windy roads over these bridges, I took a wrong turn. Now, that might not seem like a lot to you. You know, I took a wrong turn. But I got lost. I couldn't read the signs. I had no idea what was going on, and I freaked out. I just had a panic attack. I mean, it might have been a little scary. I feel bad. My beautiful bride, Chantel, was sitting there next to me on our journey here, and she just looked on as I just crumbled before her. I just fell apart. I mean, I gave into fear, failure, anxiety. It was rough. It was very bad. And in that moment, I was not living as though God were real in my life. I was not living as though He were alive and active to me. No, I was letting fear, failure, and anxiety reign in me at that moment. Not as though I were truly His. So, I know that's a little bit of a light, silly example. I mean, I got lost in Quebec. Not a big deal. For me, it was. Tore me apart for a little bit before I finally collected my thoughts, got figured out where I was, and made it home, not knowing any of the French, but finding my way. But I trust that each of you have had similar times in your life, probably recently even, those times where you don't find yourself living out of who you truly are, what God has called you to be, not living as though God were real. Especially this time of the year, I know a common one could be anxieties and fears, letting yourself give into that over finances or preparations for the new year. You know, one common one is, let's say, a habitual sin that you keep falling to, and you keep hearing that voice in your mind saying, failure, 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 and believing that rather than what God has said about you. It could be doubting your calling, what God has called you to do, doubting that He's working in your life. But one way or another, I trust that each of you have walked through those circumstances where you have let anxieties, fears, and failure define you more than what God says about you. Just think about it. How many times in the past week do you think you might have, I can think back in my own past week, times where I've walked as though God were not real and acted there for me. This is true, and we walk through this stuff. So what we're going to talk about today is how, even in the midst of these struggles, how even in the midst of this craziness where we don't walk as though God were real, how we can stop ourselves and then continue to walk faithfully in the present reality that we actually have, that we truly belong to Christ. So to start with today, we're going to go ahead and turn to our text. As you guys heard, we're going to be reading through Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Again, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I'm going to be actually reading out of the ESV today if you want to follow along. So we're departing a little bit from where pastors had us, reading through Romans lately, but we're still reading a little bit on Paul. Last time I was up here, I actually got to preach through a little bit of Ephesians. We're stepping back a ways and taking a look at a different passage here rather than finishing up what we had before. So here, going up into verses 13 and 14, Paul has been just heaping encouragement upon these Ephesians. As we're reading through here, we see him just throwing all this encouragement at them about who they are. If we were reading up this entire through this chapter up to this point, we see that Paul has been saying things like, you're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You were chosen before the foundations of the world. You were made blameless and holy before Him. You were predestined for adoption as sons and daughters. You have redemption in His blood. You have forgiveness of your trespasses. The riches of His grace have been lavished upon you in all wisdom and insight. The mystery of His will has been made known to you. You are part of His plan to unite all things in Him. You have obtained an inheritance, and you are to the praise of His glory. And all that, in just this small section, maybe about 10 verses there leading into verses 13 and 14. All this encouragement. So now we get to verses 13 and 14, where Paul caps this ideal for us, where he brings it together for us. And he tells us here, again, starting in verse 13, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. So Paul, in just a few short words here, has made clear where we stand before God. He has presented us a situation they might call like an already, not yet type of situation. We have something and we're looking forward to something. See, we have been, according to what Paul says here, we have been sealed. We have been given a guarantee, a down payment, and then we have a hope to look forward to. Well, those are the three things that we're going to be looking in today. First, we're going to be looking at this seal, what it means for us. And second, we're going to go ahead and take a look at this guarantee, this down payment, and walk through what that means for us. And lastly, we're going to take a look at this hope, what it means to have this hope, this thing to look forward to that we're waiting eagerly for. All right, so to begin with that, our sealing. So in Him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, Paul sets the stage here for us in this verse, where he tells us, that when you believed, when you heard, and when you believed. Now this is critical, and I want to mention it, that this lets us know who the audience is that Paul is speaking to here. It is to anyone who believes. These things pertain to everyone who has believed in him, those who have trusted in Christ. These things are all for you. Now, the moment you trusted in him, that very moment, you were sealed. Now, I do want to say, if anyone here hasn't taken that step of faith, of trusting Christ, I would encourage you today to listen well as we go through this. And I would encourage you to take that step, to trust and believe in him. If you have any questions about that, I know there are many people here who would be happy to answer any questions you may have. You can grab me after service if you have any, if you're wondering what it means to trust in Christ, believe in him, and walk in these things. But moving on, in this point, we are going to be focusing in on the main verb here that Paul's given us. He simply says, the verb here is, you were sealed. That's the action going on here, that you were sealed. This is the core of what Paul is talking about. So what is this seal? Well, Paul tells us this seal is the very thing that was promised, the Holy Spirit. When you believe, God seals you with the very Holy Spirit, marking you as his own. So what does it mean to be sealed? And I think we're probably familiar with the idea of a seal. What a seal is. We see them occasionally on important documents, something that's placed on something. And on Paul's day, this was a very the more common practice and more important practice. You know, I get the image of how it was back in those days. You can see it probably. An important person has put together a document, and they take a little bit of wax. Now, for some reason, I always see red wax, because that's the color of a seal. They take that red wax, and they hold it out over a flame. And the flame's there, and they're melting that wax, and it just drips down, you know, puddles down onto that document. And then they go ahead. Once it's a nice little puddle there, they go ahead and take a stamp or a ring. What we see is like a signet ring. They have an image that's carved into that ring. And they take that ring and they press it deeply into that wax. You press it deeply, leaving that imprint there, and then pulling away, leaving that image on that document impressed in wax. So that is the very image that Paul is using and giving us here today in our sealing. You see, when something was sealed like that, that seal left that image upon it, so all could see what it was. It proclaimed the authenticity, authority, and identity of the object that it marked. And this is what God did to us with the Holy Spirit, placing the Holy Spirit on us and impressing his very image imprinted upon us through this seal. And in doing that, he declared your authority, authenticity, and identity by placing that seal upon you. I mean, think about that, the authority that he has given us. By the seal of the Holy Spirit, we are given this authority. Now, Scripture talks a lot about authority and what it means for us as Christians to have this, but the one that always comes to my mind as just one of the greatest is the fact that we have the authority to enter before the throne room of God. We can go before God in prayer. We can bring his petitions. The God of the universe has given us the authority to come before him, which is amazing that we can do that whenever we want to, whenever we need to, and he rejoices in us doing that, to come before him and bring whatever petitions we have before him. You know, that's something that this seal of the Holy Spirit provides for us. Well, not only authority, but authenticity. See, by the seal of the Holy Spirit, our salvation and our ownership is confirmed and professed. We are truly his. Our spirit gives witness to this, that we belong to him. Now, any of us who have trusted in Christ, we know that sensation of belonging to Christ, being loved by him. And it's not like the feeling exists all the time or just is always there. We all know we go through ups and downs, and it's not always very present. But we know that it's there, and we know that we are his. And that seal proclaims the authenticity of us, that we are truly his, and the identity. By the seal of the Holy Spirit, we truly know who we are. When we trusted in Christ, we took on a new identity. The old man was done away with, crucified. And we were given a new spirit, a new identity to walk in, which aligns with everything what Paul has been saying so far. So in this sealing, we were given authority, authenticity, and identity. Now, another important thing to remember about the seal, so it's placed on us to proclaim what we are, but it also keeps us safe. See, a seal kept a document safe as it went on its way, sealed it shut, kept it safe in its delivery process. And so we are sealed to keep us safe also in the midst of our delivery, as it were. You know, I think back to John 6:36. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along. I'm going to start reading here. But Jesus is actually speaking here, and he's saying, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who has sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up in the last day. for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. I mean, hear that at the end, verse 40. That everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's every single one who trusts and believes in Christ will be kept safe. And so that's part of the seal as well, keeping us safe. And for me, when I read that, I get an image, as I'm thinking of this document, Paul's presented us with this image of a document being sealed, that we are sealed like that. And I just think about that, that this is God the Father taking us, almost like a love letter to Christ. He has taken us, and he has sealed us for the process of delivery, and now we are in the middle of that time of delivery, being sent forward to be received by Christ, the very love letter of God, sealed by God the Holy Spirit, given to Christ on the final day to be his. I love just thinking that I'm a love letter to Christ in this. That is just an amazing thought. So this seal, it proclaims that we are indeed his for all to see. It demonstrates that we are his chosen and beloved. It grants us the right to speak by his name and all the authority he has granted us. His seal of the Holy Spirit does all those things for us. And in a very practical way, it is a comfort to be reminded of whose we truly are. So we can come before God in prayer. We are encouraged to know we belong with him. It is a great blessing to have. Now, we have this seal upon us. It's been given to us. But in the midst of our delivery process, as we continue on in the verses we have here today, we see that Paul is teaching us that we also have a guarantee, a down payment. Yep. Sure I have the right one here. There we go. So, speaking of the Holy Spirit, Paul says here, number two, if you're taking down notes, we have the down payment. He says of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So we've established that we have this seal on our lives, but even more than that, we have an abiding down payment that we can live in today. Now, this word that, as I read in the ESV, translated guarantee, it comes from a Greek word called arabon. So an arabon was a down payment. I think we're probably mostly familiar with the idea of down payments here, that when we go ahead and purchase something, let's say if any of us have purchased a car or a house, we put some money down on it to guarantee that it's ours, and then we're guaranteeing that we're going to pay the rest of the money for this thing we purchased. Well, back in Paul's day, to the Ephesians here, they had the same idea, that the arabon, this first installment, would be given, and it guarantees to the person who's selling it that, yes, I'm taking possession of this, I'm paying the full amount, and this is my promise here, is this first installment, this first payment. So it guarantees that it will be taken possession of. Well, what's interesting here is that in this verse, we are the ones receiving the arabon, receiving the first installment, the first payment. See, this arabon, for us, is the first step, the first piece, the first taste of the life that we will have when Christ comes back. What that means is that we have some of that new life available to us right now to live in, a first installment, a first taste, if you will, of that new life. Now, it confirms that we're going to receive it all one day, but right now we have something that is of the same quality, just different quantity, of that which we will have when Christ returns. So what does that mean for us right now to actually have this down payment? Well, my story of Quebec, I had forgotten, I was not living as though God were real and active and alive in my life. I started living out of fear and anxiety in that moment. And I'm sure, as each of you know those times where you don't walk as though God were real and active and alive in your life. Well, this down payment, this is what allows us to live in our new reality. See, it gives us a choice. This is what is amazing, is God actually gives us this choice. When we come up to a situation that it's causing fear and anxiety, or whether it could be a temptation that's being whispered to us, whatever it is, when the world is saying something about who we are, what we should follow, we are given a choice. We can choose to go with what the world says. You can walk in what the world says about you being in fear. You can live in that fear. You can live in that failure and that anxiety. You can choose that path. I mean, that's there, and that's a choice. And you know what? God will still love you. You're still sealed. He still loves you, but you're not living what he's provided. You are losing out in the blessings that he has given you when you choose to go that direction, the way the world says. But this down payment allows you to choose the other option. You can choose to actually walk in what God has provided. You can choose to walk in what God says about you. You can choose to walk in victory. And it's a little weird because it is a choice, which means you have to make it. You have to make the choice. And it doesn't always seem, you know, we listen to the world a lot, and it doesn't always seem like that's a real valid choice. Like, you know, that stuff isn't true about me. But it is. And God says it is. And we can choose to walk in it. And it's a step of faith. It's a step of faith saying that, God, what you say about me is true. You know, we need to agree with what God says about us. I'll say that again. We need to agree with what God says about us when we come to those situations, those times. We have been sealed, and we are in the process of being delivered. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's true about you. You've been chosen before the foundation of the world. That's true about you. You've been made blameless and holy. You were predestined for adoption as sons and daughters. You have redemption in his blood. You have forgiveness of your trespasses. The riches of his grace have been lavished upon you. The mystery of his will has been made known to you. You're part of his plan to unite all things in him. You've attained of inheritance, and you are to the praise of his glory. Those things are all true of you. When you trust and believe in Christ, each one of those is true for you. And you can choose to walk in that if you agree with what God says about you and take that step of faith in that. So that is our down payment. I don't know, I don't always walk in that myself. There's plenty of times out there where I choose and I walk the way of the world. I say, you know what, no. You know, I'm a failure, I'm afraid, I have anxiety, and I'll walk in that. But I know those times where I've said, you know, no, I'm going to choose to agree with what God says. I don't feel like it. You know, I have a hard time just feeling that that's true, but I know it's true because God says it is. Let me try and just walk in that and see what happens. And it is amazing when I do that and I see that what God says is true, and when I actually just step in it, just step as though it is true, it happens because he's right. And what he says is true. So that is our down payment, that we can live in that. Well, that brings us to our final item. We talked about sealing. We've talked about the down payment. But we also have this hope, this final redemption, where Paul tells us here at the end of these verses, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is where it's all headed. This is the destination, the hope that we have, because this seal is put on us to keep us safe and provide us with these things while we're in the process of delivery. This down payment is given to us so that we can live in it right now, a first taste of it. But all of it is looking forward with hope to what we have in store when Christ returns. That hope that we have, that this first taste we have is just a first taste, and there will be so much more when God comes and takes us home. And that is something, that hope is something that we can live in. When we struggle, when we do choose to go the way of the world, when we make stupid choices, when we mess up, this is something we can look back to and hold on to, knowing that, you know what, I might make a mistake, I might mess up, I might make the wrong choice, but I have a final hope that one day he's returning and he will make all things right. And we will walk consistently in the life that he has provided for us. That is the hope that we have. And amazingly, all of it is working towards that grand purpose of everything. That grand purpose, bringing everything all to the glory of God. So, we've looked at the seal that has been placed on us. We've taken a peek at this down payment that we've received that we can actually choose to walk in. And there's the hope for us that we have looking forward to. Well, a lot of that, I want to leave you guys, hopefully send you on home before the ice gets worse. So no hour-long message today. I apologize. But in light of that, I want to leave you with this story. It's a favorite story of mine. I don't think I've given it to anyone here. If I do, bear with me. I just love this story. But it's a story about an eagle. So as the story goes, one day a farmer was walking in the woods. And he saw down by the path a baby eagle had hurt itself and was there lying on the ground, unable to fly. So that a farmer, being a generous man, he got that eagle, he took that eagle, and he took it home with him. Not knowing really what to do with it, he went ahead and put it with the chickens, and there it lived like a chicken. And it continued living like a chicken until one day a naturalist came by for a visit. And, you know, they were hanging out together, the farmer and the naturalist. And the naturalist looked down and said, wait a second, you got a chicken, or you got an eagle out there with the chickens. What's going on there? Farmer just looked at him and said, nah, you know, I mean, yeah, it might have been an eagle, but really, it's just a chicken. I mean, it hangs out there with the chicken. It pecks the ground like a chicken. It can't fly. I mean, it's just a chicken nowadays. Well, naturalist said, no, that's not a chicken. That's an eagle. And its chest beats the heart of the king of birds. Well, the naturalist went out there with the farmer's permission, of course, took that eagle and picked it up and held it to the sky. And holding it up to the sky, he said, eagle, you belong to the skies. Soar. That eagle had no idea what was going on. Very confused. Looked around. Didn't know what was going on. Saw the chickens down in the barnyard. Hopped on down and went back to peck with the chickens. The naturalist wasn't going to give up quite yet. So he came out again. He picked up that eagle. He took him to the top of the barn. And so he's holding him out the window and said, eagle, you belong to the skies. Soar. Eagle looked up to the sky and once again was confused. Looked around, saw the chickens pecking on the ground. Yeah, went back to be with the chickens. Finally, naturalist wasn't going to give up yet. He went and he got that eagle one more time. Picked up that eagle. Went out to a cliff. Held up that eagle over the cliff. Pointed at the skies and said, eagle, you belong to the skies. Soar. Well, this time, the eagle started feeling a little tingle, like, something's up. You know, starts stretching his wings a little. And then the naturalist pointed him towards the sun. And that eagle spread its wings and soared. Now, as the story goes, that eagle, though it might occasionally have visited the farmyard again, might have even pecked at the ground with the chickens, that eagle never became a chicken. It was an eagle. That's what I want to leave you with today, that church, brothers and sisters here, you are not chickens. You are eagles. You are not chickens. And the world might try and say that you are. Your feelings might try and say that you are. And you might have those sensations that you want to go back to that, but you're not. You have all these blessings that we've read about. That is who you truly are. So, with that in mind, remember that you are not chickens. Christ has claimed you. You are sealed. You have a down payment, and you have a hope. So soar. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your blessing to be able to take this brief chance to look in your word. I thank you for your goodness, and I pray we would remember who we truly are in you, that we can walk in you, that we can trust you and what you say about us, that it is true, and we can choose to go in those ways, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of this day to us, keep each and every one of us safe on our travels home. Lord, I pray that we'd have quick journeys as well, despite the weather. And I pray that you be with Pastor Steve and the family as they return. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. And we lift this up in the name of Jesus. Amen.